Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another TV season review. This is going to be for your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man season one on Disney Plus. We'll stay spoiler free for this part and jump to our rating system. We've got strong must see, don't skip, possible skip, and hard skip without any single sense of hesitation. Easy, strong must see, and a very easy 10 out of 10. I've been on a very interesting personal journey with this show, and I'm very happy to sit here and tell you that I am absolutely stunned at how good this show is. This show is incredible, it is awesome at times. I absolutely loved it, and I just can't quite believe some of the things that this show tries to do and not only gets away with but succeeds in incredible volume. It's yeah, I tell you what, the difference between my feelings after seeing the first trailer and then being like, what the hell is this thing? Like what is this thing? Why are you bothering giving me this thing? And then hearing all the praise about this show, which I now understand, and then admittedly going into episodes one and two, you know, the curiosity got the better of me, as I said in my first part kind of review. And admittedly, kind of, you know, the sort of sit there with your arms crossed, being like, all right, then show me what you've got. Apparently you're a very, very good TV show, but you look terrible from your trailers. Show me what you've got. And I'm very glad that this show sat me down on my ass and told me how good it was. And as somebody who's basically a lifelong Spider-Man fan, and I love this character very dearly, and is one of my favorite characters ever in fiction, I'm very, very glad that the curiosity got the better of me and that I experienced this thing, because I'm just absolutely stunned. I can't believe some of the things that this show tries to do. Especially not to put too much emphasis on the finale, because there is a lot in the finale, but even the episodes before that. But my God, that finale. I want to do a few comparisons to things to kind of like set the stage for things here a little bit. Two of the most highly critically acclaimed things in animation, at least as far as like Marvel goes, is the Spider-Verse films and X-Men 97 Season 1. Now, I remember after I saw the first two episodes of this show, and I was like, this is actually really, really quite good. And I thought, like, okay, it's really, really quite good, but it's not on the level of X-Men 97. And while this attempts to do different things, like thematically, and obviously you've got the whole mutants thing in X-Men, would I say this is on the same level as X-Men 97? Yes, I would. Yes, I would say that. I don't know if you do, like, you know, a gun to your head kind of thing, which show is better? I still would lean towards X-Men 97. X-Men 97 has more impactful storylines on like a social and political level, but Spider-Man show doesn't really try to do the same things. But then X-Men 97 doesn't try to do the same things here, because you're getting two different types of stories. But in terms of like general quality and things like that, this is on the same level as X-Men 97, and I can't believe I'm saying that after my I try to think, like, what was wrong with that first trailer? It just completely, because it showed all of the scenes in the trailer are in the show. But and again, I'm not calling for anybody to be fired, but for the team that put this together, you need to have a word with whoever put that trailer together, because they need to have a bit of a talking to. Because they did not do a good job with representing how good this show is, or how incredible this show is. And the other one, of course, being the Spider-Verse films. Now, even to this day, because there's two of them, of course. Was it in Across the Spider-Verse? Into the Spider-Verse? Across was the second one, wasn't it? Yeah. The first of those Spider-Verse films, I think, is very, very good. I didn't, even up to today, and I think I've rewatched the first one since then. What was it, 2018 or something? I think that's a very, very good film and a very, very good start. I do think Across the Spider-Verse, whichever the second one is an absolutely incredible film. I think this is on the same level as that. Again, slightly different because you are, I know there's a, those are two Spider-Man stories. So more comparable than to something like X-Men, which is trying to just do something different. But even within the types of Spider-Man stories that this is and what Spider-Verse gives you, they're both kind of different. Again, if you say a gun to my head, I probably would go with the second Spider-Verse film. Like, okay, hypothetically, in terms of ranking those four things, I would say number one is probably X-Men 97. Then the second Spider-Verse film, then this Spider-Man series, and then the first Spider-Verse film, just to kind of compare, like, some very praised projects. Because as I was getting through the season, and I was really, really, really enjoying it, and I was like, okay, I didn't, I said that this, I don't think this is on the level of X-Men 97. Now that I've seen more of it, what do I think? And I think it's on the same level. So yeah, even from that crappy trailer when they said from the team that bought you X-Men 97, and I was like, what? Yeah, I get it now. I get it now. So, but you know what? Fair play. Fair damn play to you. You sat me down and you said, nope, watch the 10 episodes. I mean, nobody actually did that. I'm talking hypothetically. Sit down, watch the 10 episodes, see what this thing's actually all about. And, damn, this is good. Damn, this is really, really good. I'm gonna say at the moment, of course, we are in March and The Last of Us, which is my most anticipated thing right now, apart from maybe Toy Story 5 as well. Obviously, I'm really, 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 really excited for Last of Us Season 2, and even that's putting it lightly. I would guess at the end of the year, I'll probably have this at number 2. And Last of Us at number one. Depends what else comes out for the rest of the year. Of course, we've got a good chunk of the year left. I would say at the moment this is the best, either new or returning. And you know, look, Daredevil's really, really, really good right now. We've only had two episodes, so we haven't had the whole season yet, so I can't judge that yet. Yeah, this is the best new or returning. Is this the best TV show of 2025 so far? Jesus, man, I can't stress this enough. My thoughts after watching that trailer and being like, what the hell is this? And then finishing episode 10, and I'm so, oh my God, I just wow. There's so many things. There's many, many things in this show that are going on, and it's not that any of them shouldn't work. I'm just surprised and taken aback by how well they do work. And that is incredible in of itself. So in terms of like general, I mean, just across the board, writing, heartfelt moments, bits of comedy, things that made me laugh. There is, at least for the main characters, because there's a lot of like side characters and stuff. I liked every single character in this show, even the ones that are supposed to be the more villainous in the show. I still really, I love every version of the characters, each character in this show. Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily, even for all these different characters, I don't always think there's like, okay, a one singular perfect version way to do these characters. Because that's what you have different comic book series and different, you know, series of shows and whatever for, is so you can have different versions of the same characters, like, you know, as we've seen across comic book media. So I don't think there's like, oh, there's only one perfect way to do these certain characters, but at least for these versions, this is one of the perfect versions to do these characters. And there's some changes in this show, changes to certain characters. There's certain bits that are like flipped around and stuff. I think all of them work. I think every single one of them work. I still would say, because okay, I very quickly kind of settled on, he's called Hudson Thames, his voice acting for Peter. It threw me off at first because I wasn't used to it, and I Don't know if I've heard his voice before. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. It took me a minute to get used to, but I very quickly fell in love with that version of the character. I would still say, as much as I love Peter in the show, and he is what I envision Spider-Man to be, this socially awkward, kind of quirky, quippy young guy who's trying his best, gets given this big responsibility, gets given these powers, and there are different ways that you can do that same version. Of course, we've had, like, Andrew's version that's a bit older, Toby's version obviously that was older than that, more of like an adult and that kind of stuff. But for what you're going for with this version of Peter and for Spider-Man, again, is absolutely perfect. So yeah, I think it was just kind of a case of getting used to his voice. Don't get me wrong, when he spoke for the first time and kind of went on from there, I was like, oh, okay, little bit of a sort of shock to the system. But yeah, after like 2-3 episodes, roughly where I did like that first review, I quickly got kind of used to him, so that was good. However, I still think absolutely that the best character in this show is this version of Norman Osborn. And as I said before, there's three things that click together really, really well. The fact that, okay, Common Domingo, who again I've excuse me, mainly seen in Fear the Walking Dead. Obviously here he's given much, 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 much better material than Fear the Walking Dead. His voice acting is phenomenal, especially for what the version of this character is. And again, Norman being, because both the Osborns, obviously Harry as well, are both black people, but Coleman, as obviously a black man himself, fitting into that role, it fits, that also fit really, really perfectly. So again, I know there was a lot of like, oh my god, Norman and Harry are black and that's gonna ruin things. No, it didn't. No, it didn't at all. I still would say with Harry that I love that character a lot. He is, again, perfect for what they're going for. I still, maybe I'm, I don't know, something about, like, when I watched that character do his scenes, I just didn't think of him as Harry. But I was starting to think while I was watching the show, because like all the other particular comic book characters in here that I know, because there's a few characters in here who I'm unaware of, either unaware of or they're new characters. All of the other characters that come in here that are comic book ones that I know, was that character? And I was like, okay, you can't really. It doesn't. It started to not make sense to me that, okay. And I don't want to get into spoilers as to who appears in the show because damn, it's a nice surprise. But when different comic book characters that I knew were popping up, I was like, yeah, those are the versions of the characters that I know, or at least to some degree. And then I started wondering, like, okay, there's no way that you can perfectly be doing all of these characters, and then to me, something was just different about Harry. And then I was looking at Harry and I was like, is it a case that I don't know that character well enough? Because, okay, what have I've seen it, obviously you've got the James Franco versions, you've got the version from the Spider-Man games, the PS4 and PS5 games, you've got this version, and you've got, I don't know, but I'm trying to think of the three versions. So this version, then the one from the, I guess they call them Sam Raimi films, the James Franco one, and Harry from the two Spider-Man games, and they're all a bit different in their own ways, but he's like the one. It was just weird that I was going through the series and be like, that version's perfect, that version's perfect, that version's perfect, and this version, what you're doing with him, you're doing perfectly well. It's just that that character didn't seem like Harry to me. But now I'm wondering if I even know Harry well enough for the show, sorry, not for the show, if I know Harry well enough as a character, and I don't know that maybe I actually do. But yeah, what they do with the character, they do it perfectly well, and that is an excellent version of that character. But yeah, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe I don't know Harry well enough. I don't know. So anyway, he was still brilliant. I'm starting to realize as I'm talking about this, I mean, I'm just giving you my general kind of, off the cuff thoughts at the moment. There is a lot of stuff I cannot talk about without spoiling things, because this show is full of cameos. It tries some very, very ambitious things. It has some, very curious MCU connections, but then also, I have never seen something try to be connected to the MCU, but also not be. It's really fascinating what they do with the MCU connections, because there is stuff from the films they straight up mention, have screenshots of, have news reports of, and I'm not going to tell you which things that they are, but there's a few things they go to, and I'm like, that's like a really, really big MCU storyline. But then it doesn't feel like. It's almost like it's unofficially connected to the MCU. And as I was watching more and more and more and more stuff come up that was definitely an MCU connection, and remember the original idea was going to be this was going to be Tom Holland's Spider-Man when it was called Freshman Year or whatever. And it was going to be a like pre his pre-MCU storyline, because of course we didn't get the like you know the origin stuff in the MCU because he showed up in Civil War and he was just already established and all that, and it was supposed to be kind of so this is the way to do that without saying outright like this is an MCU thing, like an MCU spin-off. I mean they're all technically spin-offs of each other. And have direct MCU storylines be referenced and connected, but then still have it be its own thing. It's really fascinating what they do with this with the MCU. I can't really think of something that's done it like this. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, just really curious stuff. Anyway, we'll talk about that in the spoiler section. What else can I actually talk to you about? It just really I'm just stunned at the ambition of what they tried to do in this show. I wasn't sure going in of like, okay, will this just be a nice, basic, grounded Spider-Man story? And it is. And for those bits, because Spider-Man's obviously a very street level character and all that deals with like, you know, police chase stuff and you know street criminals and things like that. They do all that again perfectly well. But it does try a lot of other stuff. And it doesn't feel like out of place or anything. And then they just go places with this thing, and I was just stunned. And there is a lot of times in the show where they're like, right, we're gonna set this up, set this up, set this up, set this up, set this up. And I tell you what, the way this show reveals certain things it's setting up is just absolutely top class. And they're kind of simple things of like, this character is going to become this character that you know from the comic books. It's the stuff you kind of expect, but I didn't expect as much of it. Because I thought that this show might be, because it starts off relatively simple. And then just gets more and more and more ambitious, and I suppose it's because I didn't know what they were going to go for, what they were going to completely do, but it really, really surprised me in that way. And wow, especially like the last couple of episodes. Obviously, like you know, in traditional season format, it ramps up a lot of things, and then has some big last episodes. And there were so many times I was like, does that mean that you're setting that up for that? And I was like, yep, we're doing that. And then I was like, oh, does that mean that's going to be that thing? That would be really cool if that's the, yep, that's what they're going for. Yep. And it just keeps going. It just keeps going the whole season. And it's like, yeah, we're going to tell you that this character might be this, this thing might be this, this thing might be this. MCU reference here. Da, 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 da. And it just kept going and going and going. And man, season two is going to be busy. Season two is going to be busy, and I'm really, really excited for season two. So yeah, but I mean, look, given the shenanigans of Sony, and because they can't, they just don't want to give Spider-Man full time to the MCU, and they want to hold back Spider-Man's villains for their own silly Sony's Spider-Man stupid verse thing, which has fallen flat on its face. It's really great to have this as kind of a side thing to the MCU. What I'd almost be even more curious about, because obviously this is, it's a Marvel Productions thing. I don't remember any Sony stuff coming up, because again, this, I think this is part of the deal that of what Marvel can do. So I don't think this is like credited for Sony at all. I don't remember seeing any sort of Sony logos, and it's got like the Marvel animation intro, it's got the Disney Plus intro. Like when you go to watch one of the Venomverse, Spider-Verse thing films, whatever they are, you get the Sony Pictures like splash screen intro thing at the start to tell you like, okay, this is a film developed by Sony. Is in association with Marvel, and that's how they include Venom and stuff. But given that you mucked up all of that very, very catastrophically, I would say this is a very, very, very good substitute for a proper Spider-Man thing, because like I don't expect the MCU to do this with Peter Parker Spider-Man. And don't get me wrong, what they've done with things like, you know, No Way Home and all those kind of stuff. Like I think No Way Home is an incredible achievement of a film, and especially the things they're able to do there. I'm very, very curious now that this thing has referenced MCU from pretty much top to bottom, and not just like, oh, hey, did you see that thing? I'm talking like proper news reports of stuff that's like direct big storylines in the MCU. I'm very curious if any future, because of course we've got like Doomsday coming up and we've got Secret Wars coming up. If any future MCU stuff references what happens here, I don't expect it to, because this feels like a kind of side thing for the MCU. Again, it feels kind of unofficially MCU. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I didn't expect most of the MCU stuff. I didn't really expect any direct MCU connections at all. I expected this just to be kind of, I mean, you look at X-Men 97, I don't think that referenced the MCU, at least not in the way that this did. So and look, it didn't need to do that to be as good as it is. It's still incredible with the things it tries to do, because even if you take out all of the like MCU connections, the news reports and those bits, it's still an incredible show in of itself, and what it's doing like on its own feet, it's still incredible there. But yeah, I'll be very curious to see how, especially with obviously Spider-Man 4 with Tom Holland is coming up, and you do have like other related things as well. I almost gave away a spoiler. Other related things that are connected to Spider-Man here as well. So absolutely incredible. So yeah, and for, by the way, if you know you're thinking, hey, Disney Plus animation is it family friendly? Yeah, you can watch this with the whole family. There's like some slightly dark moments, but nothing sort of, yeah, nothing really terrible. I mean, you'll get like, okay, characters getting injured and stuff like that, because of course they are fighting each other, or they're, you know, characters fighting each other. But I don't think there's anything inherently sort of violent or, you know, really horrible with this. In fact, it's kind of aimed at that sort of, well, it used to be called freshman year, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. It leans into the like teen kind of audience stuff as well, which it does really, really well. So if you're kind of wondering like, hey, can I watch this with, well, anybody? I what I'm trying to say is like, okay, if you're a busy person and you've got kids or something, and you're wondering like, okay, can I use some of the, you know, watch time you spend with, like, some of the TV time with them and watch this? I mean, they might not quite, depending on how old your maybe young kids are or whatever, they might not get it, because there's some deep kind of like emotional, like adult level stuff in here. And what I mean by, I don't mean adult level as in like, you know, crude or anything. I just mean like, very emotionally written stuff, which is really, really good. So, some stuff that like might go over younger kids' sort of heads and that. So they might not like get those parts, but in terms of those sort of like cool Spider-Man moments where they can sort of sit there and cheer for the character, there's loads of those. There's absolutely loads of those, and I was cheering as well. So yeah, just, you know, just thinking in terms of, it's, you know, animated, it's on Disney Plus, is it family friendly? I would say yes, certainly. So, But if you would like to use this that as an excuse to watch this show, then yes, you can do that. So anyway, and even if you've got people that are, the other end, elderly or whatever, you can obviously watch it with them as well. So I think it's safe for the whole family is what I'm trying to say, which is great because everybody should watch this because it's just absolutely fantastic. So anyway, we have a load of stuff to get to. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to cover all of it because there's just so much stuff that happens in this show. So I'm going to get to the spoiler section in a moment. But before I do that, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. Have you seen the show? Are you going to watch it? You really should if you haven't. Yeah, if you've seen it, did you like it as much as I did? Did you like it somewhat or whatever? What were your thoughts on certain stuff? Of course, you can write into me any spoilery things because I've seen the whole first season. What do you think of my journey of like awful trailer, not interested, then curiosity from word of mouth, and then. Admittedly, begrudgingly checking out the first two episodes, and then like, oh, it's good. I was being a bit stubborn, I suppose, or whatever. And then just absolutely loving it and comparing it to X-Men 97. What do you think of my journey and your journey and everything else? Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk. And there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Man United podcast. We did the United cast today. Did also. What did I do yesterday? What podcast did I do on Saturday? Oh, yes, Last of Us, of course, yes. For all the new trailer and all those new bits and pieces, of course, got Yellow Jackets, gaming talk, film reviews, TV reviews, all kinds of stuff. So if you'd like to support us, which would be great, word of mouth, social media. Listening to more stuff, there's a categories list, handy guide, and if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. That for that as well, if you'd like to. TV and film news over on Geek Town Radio and Tuesdays at geektown.co.uk as well, so look out for all of that. We're on Twitch at eTalkUK, but more regularly on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Yeah, it's about all I can say. I've given the praise, given the top to bottom praise for the show that it absolutely deserves, and I can't really talk about much else. So we need to go to the spoiler section. But if you haven't seen the show or whatever, don't follow me in there. It's quite something in there. There's some things we're going to be talking about, and you won't want to know what they are if you haven't seen the show and you intend on watching it, which I think that you should. Do absolutely. So yeah, I'll see you on the other side for the spoilers. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen, your friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man Season 1 on, I almost said DVD, no, on Disney Plus, although You can, I guess, eventually watch it on DVD. If you've not seen the first season, is my point. Please leave now. Go and watch the show. Just go and start it, or whatever you want to do, I suppose. Because I'm gonna get into spoilers now. Where the hell do I start with this? Wow. Just you've got Venom, Doctor Strange, Daredevil, Doc Ock, symbiotes, gliders, portals, talk of dimensional space, Oscorp, Norman's doing crazy stuff, variants of Venom and a Venom symbiote that gets left behind. You've got Lonnie getting powers. Nico is a sorcerer or something like that. Pearl's also a really awesome character. Yeah, I kind of thought of something actually, because to me, Pearl, Lonnie, and Nico, to me, they're all new characters. I don't know if they are from the comic books. And then something kind of dawned on me. I almost forgot about the show, even though it was actually very good. Is The Runaways. Now, I cannot remember the name of the character. And I didn't clock on to this throughout the whole show. And she kept showing her little. It looked like just a, makeup mirror. You know, one of them portable makeup mirrors that have like a brush on the other side. It looked like just one of them or something, which I guess is part of the illusion. So if someone looks at it, they go, oh, it's a cool mirror. Turns out it's a, it's a powerful thing. 'Cause there was a character in The Runaways, I can't remember their name, but they had this staff. And as soon as you get the reveal of that, and I thought about that character from The Runaways, I was like, is that supposed to be her? In The Runaways, she had a staff which had like a mirror thing at the top, and she could shoot that at things to make things happen. That's a very bad description, but you know what I mean. It was like a magical staff that could do cool things, and she had kind of the gothic girl sort of look. And I was trying to wonder if that was the same. Is that the same character? I need to look this up. I should have done this a bit earlier, but I wasn't prepared for that. Nico, the Runaways. Yes, I think that that is. Same staff. Dimensioned. I can't remember if she's like a. I wrote down Nico Witch Lady. That's just for my own benefit to remember which character that was. Yeah, she was really cool in The Runaways. And I remember from what I played of. Marvel Midnight Suns, that's what it's called. I need to go back to that game because it was actually very good. She's in that game as well. Nico the Runaways. Spider-Man. Let's see what this comes up with. I don't know why I didn't think of that the whole show. It says here, yeah, Nico Munro will appear in Spider-Man Freshman. I guess I never found that out, which is cool because then I got this reveal, which I was, so I thought she looked kind of similar, but I never was like, oh yeah, that's the same character because they don't mention anything to do with like what she can do in the entire show. Yeah, that's very, very cool. Again, more kind of. Was The Runaways an MCU show? It was kind of. It was like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of thing, wasn't it? Where it was like half connected. But that's very, very, very cool. Yeah, awesome. Then, yeah, you had like Charlie Cox voicing Daredevil, which was awesome, obviously, with the timing with. Daredevil Born Again coming back was really, really cool. I'll say something else as well. I mean, I'm gonna say a lot more things. I think that the MCU should take notes from this show. And what I mean by that is, okay, Obviously, I know they can't really use Venom in the same way. I'm trying to remember when the last time the MCU sort of did this in this way. And it's done it on a couple of occasions, like when Hulk shows up in She-Hulk, or when. What's a recent example? Just like characters just popping up to do stuff, and them having an actual good connection to things. It's like Doctor Strange pops up here to deal with the Venom variant, and that ties into what's going on at the end. Then you have like Daredevil's trying to investigate Norman Osborn. Obviously, that connects to Spider-Man, and then you get Spider-Man and Daredevil fighting, and then you get the appearance at the end of them tracking down Norman and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't mean that Daredevil had to like be in every episode, be a main character. But him like popping up and just doing that, or even like Iron Man showing up just to kind of, hey, I'm gonna stop you, Norman Os, Doc Ock, or Otto Octavius. And I don't know if that was Robert Downey Jr. It sounded a little bit like him. I haven't got that information to hand right now. And I don't know who was voicing Doc Ock. It should be written here somewhere, maybe. Oh no, it says Mick. It's a little bit lower in the cast list here. Mick Wingert is Tony Stark. Sounded fairly similar to Robert Downey Jr. in some ways. Like Iron Man's a massive character for the MCU, and him showing up just to stop Doc Ock in an alleyway, and then I think General Ross was it that was there. Obviously, we've just seen in what's it called, Captain America. That was really cool. Who else did you have? Obviously, Doc Ock, his kind of thing being set up. The glider appearing from Norman Osborn's thing. I thought that was a really, really cool moment as well. Scorpion being in this, that tail just would not stop, would it? That Scorpion's tail. I thought that was really, really awesome and really tested Peter's ability. I'm gonna guess that with Lonnie, because he inhales, as soon as he inhaled that, I was like, okay, that's not some sort of tear gas to kill him. That's gonna give him some sort of power, but what's it gonna be? Because I wondered if that was gonna turn him into like the Goblin or something like that. But he gets named as Tombstone, which is interesting because in that makeshift group that we see earlier, I'm pretty sure we do see Tombstone. But there's also a character credited here called Tombstone. And one of Lonnie's powers, the power that he gets given, is like ridiculous super strength. I don't know if I'm actually reading that correctly, but that's kind of what I thought they were going for. So that was really cool. Yeah, I think the MCU should take notes of that in a way of just, I mean, granted, pay works differently and you have to have physical actors on the set, and I get that it works differently. Whereas, like, if you say to Charlie Cox, like, hey, do you fancy recording some lines for the Spider-Man thing? Obviously, we'll pay you, we'll hire you. You don't have to, like, get in costume, come onto the set, and, make sure you're, all good to go physically because you'll need to be on screen. You can just kind of just not that doing lines is easier because it's not, but you get what I mean of you can just ask these people to just record lines of like, hey, yeah, this character's gonna pop up, that character's gonna pop up. Do you want to fill up? Do you want to do these little spots of things? And I'm sure he was very happy to do, Matt Murdock, Charlie Cox. But that is easier than getting somebody to physically show up to a set on a scheduled time because you have to be on the set at the same time as other people so that you're on screen with them and all that sort of thing. So I get that it's more difficult for the MCU to do that. I just think it should try harder to do that, to be honest. But yeah, just an example there of Daredevil, like, yeah, he would be investigating Norman Osborn because of what the hell's going on there. And has a very cool fight with Spider-Man and goes off for a bit and is still investigating, and that was like really, really cool the way that was done. So that was just, yeah, just brilliant as well. So I talked a lot and I sort of teased a lot about the MCU connections. They bring up is it the Sokovia Accord, which was a massive, massive thing in the MCU, at least for when Civil War was around. I found it so interesting that when Norman brings it up, he's like, hey, here's a news report of the Sokovia Accords, and he has Peter Parker, not Tom Holland, but Peter Parker in his building with him. I don't think they reference Spider-Man being there. And they show the same like airport thing, which was literally where, like, you know, they got the Tony Stark under roost thing or whatever. He flips over, takes Cap's shield. It's all very cool. But they show, I think, the same characters. Like Ant-Man was there. Obviously, he did the big thing there, and you had a bunch of other people. But it's like you're making that canon. Obviously, you talk about because they show it to Doc Ock and like you've broken the Sokovia Accord because of what you're doing in this lab, and even to the point where Tony Stark, who is obviously there as well, shows up to stop Doc Ock, which again connects to the Sokovia Accord because that's why they investigate him. That was absolutely fascinating the way that they did that. And there was all what were the other ones? I remember the Sokovia Accord was like the main thing. I don't know if any of you that noticed as well. You got the What If series, which in of itself I think is a pretty terrible show, but I'll put that to the side. But you've got not Isaac, that's his Last of Us character's name. Jeffrey Wright, who voices the Watcher, after Doctor Strange speaks to him in episode 10, and after Strange goes through the portal and he's like, hey, yeah, you could do something really great. On the left, the Watcher's just sitting there, like in the, not in the clouds, but sort of in the sky watching over. Now, I don't know what happens in What If Season 3, but obviously that's already been released before this came out. So this is an MCU TV show. It's just kind of an unofficial one, and it has to be kind of unofficial because when you're referencing the Sokovia Accords and the airport fight, and Tom Holland's Spider-Man was there, but then in that moment they don't reference, oh, and Spider-Man was there as well. Not that you can't do that, because obviously you can have more than one Spider-Man, more than one Peter Parker running around, because the MCU also did that. But yeah, I just wonder what they're gonna do with some of that stuff going forward, because that's just incredible that you managed to do that. So yeah, but look, the finale sets up, like, you have another crazy, crazy fight with the Venom variant and Doctor Strange, and like the whole portal thing and the dark void. Even Peter goes out there for a moment to like fight Venom. But again, that's not like Tom Hardy's version of it. This is like a totally different variant. It's got like different parts to it and all that kind of stuff. And they tease like Norman Osborn's gonna pick that up, which again, traditionally, quote unquote, Harry in certain storylines gets the symbiote, but then in others, obviously Eddie Brock, who isn't in the show right now, he gets that. Because I thought at one point, because you did have the glider that saves Peter, and I think that's one of the best moments of the show. Because you see the glider flying in, and I was like, oh my god, are we gonna have like Norman on? Oh, excuse me, Norman on the glider showing up as one of the variants of the Goblin. Didn't quite go that far, which I found interesting. But that was supposed to be the Goblin glider. It's a slightly different sort of version of it. But that was that, and that directly connects to, again, Oscorp and Norman from what we know from traditional, like, Spider-Man storylines. That was pretty wild. Yeah, because you knew something was going to, because obviously they're not going to kill off Peter in that moment. You knew something had to come along and save him, and I didn't think Norman was going to physically show up and save him. But then, yeah, then you get the glider to sort of show up, because even though we know these things of like, oh, here's Doc Ock and here's Dr. Connors and all these other characters, even though we know that they're in traditional Spider-Man stories, you don't always know what things they're gonna go for and what they're gonna pick and how they're gonna switch things around, like who's gonna get the Venom symbiote and stuff. So, wow, yeah. Then you get Ben Parker at the end as well. Like, how's my son doing and all this kind of stuff. That's gonna be really cool. Jeez, it went for the show. Absolutely went for broken. It totally worked. Because again, you could take away like, you could have had Peter getting bitten differently. You could have had no Tony Stark show up. You could have had no Daredevil show up. Didn't have to like, name someone as Dr. Connors, but that's a cool tease for the future. Obviously, the lizard and stuff with the arm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that this show didn't even need to do that it did that just made it so much better. Because you could have simply done this as kind of, like you could have like if you were to strip the show down, let's say you could have had just Scorpion be the season-long villain, Norman still be the sort of tutor or guidance or whatever for Peter. You could have still had all like the Nico, Lonnie, Pearl, all that stuff, which I thought was really, really good. So that's like the high school stuff or whatever. You could still have had Norman's like Oscorp Industries thing with all those student storylines. I thought, by the way, the girl they had from they said, oh, this person from Wakanda, she was like my favorite out of that group. I loved her kind of enthusiasm and stuff. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, even aside from all those things that this show tries, like it had a lot of heart. There were some really heartwarming moments in the story. Some really, really, really well-written stuff. Again, the way the show does different reveals. Like, hey, the suit is destroyed. Back to the classic red and blue thing. That was a really cool reveal. I loved, by the way, the because I always love the early sort of he comes up with his makeshift homemade suit and someone helps him make a proper suit. Obviously, it was Norman in this case. The idea of like when they did one of the earlier episodes and he's trying these different suits and you know he's not going to stick to one of them, but it's still cool to see all like the trial and error sort of thing and all the mentorship stuff there. I thought all that was really, really brilliant. Then you had like Lonnie and the whole gang thing. I felt really sorry for him throughout the whole season because he's just trying to do the right thing the whole time and he gets his younger brother away from this gang but puts himself in harm's way. Then his parents are really concerned and they're like not a well-off family and all this kind of stuff. I thought that was great. I thought the gang storyline was pretty good as well. That was like a good way to sort of have one of those in the show. And then you've got Pearl, who's like kind of gets together with Lonnie, but then they break off and Peter fancies her, but he's not going to step away in the way of his friend. Yeah, so many really cool things that just sort of happened. Then Nico's whole storyline, and we'll see where that goes in season two with her probably becoming that character properly. Yeah, wow. So, I mean, we have a. Okay, you've got Doc Ock, you've got Daredevil, Doctor Strange, a Venom variant, a character from The Runaways, Scorpion, Lonnie becoming maybe kind of Tombstone, unless that was supposed to be the other character. You got the other random gang characters, then you've got Norman Osborn, then you've got an excellent version of Peter himself, then you've got Harry Osborn, then you've got, Lonnie and Pearl stuff, the Nico stuff. Was it other? Am I forgetting anything? There were so many things. Then the whole Venom variant thing, and that getting like left behind, and the void, and the dimensional stuff. They didn't even need to do like 90% of this to still make the show as good as what it was. I mean, even it. What was it in the first episode? You go with Doctor Strange and a Venom variant before Peter's even fully become Spider-Man. Like that's going for broke early on, and that working? Wow. Yeah. And again, all these are like quite normal Spider-Man things to have happen in a story. Apart from Doctor Strange, that's like not. Because Doctor Strange isn't a Spider-Man character, is he? Like, Doc Ock and Venom and Scorpion and all those other people, that most of those are. And obviously, Daredevil's had, like, connections to Spider-Man before. Even Nico, like, she's a Runaways character. So yeah, I guess she's not a new character, because I thought, again, Nico, Lonnie, and Pearl are all new characters. I guess Nico obviously isn't, so. I'm half expecting, like, is Aunt May going to get something at some point, and then Pearl's going to get something at some point? Oh yeah, that was it. They did confirm, I don't know why they did it this way, but they said Spider-Gwen's going to be in season 2 as well. That was a public announcement, so I don't consider that a spoiler. Who's Gwen Stacy going to be? Unless, because I was trying to figure out the woman that is running with Daredevil at the end. I couldn't work out who that was. That's not Elektra, because obviously Elektra's a very traditional Daredevil character. And she wasn't swinging around. She wasn't doing Spider-Man stuff, was she? Is she supposed to be? Because, okay, if Daredevil is with Spider-Gwen, that's not an unusual thing. Maybe Kingpin will like show up at some point if Daredevil's involved. Because I think it's supposed to be that, isn't it? That Hell's Kitchen's not that far from New York, where the two of them operate separately. Heck, with Tony, because I'm starting to wonder what's off the table for this show. Because now that you've introduced like a Sokovia Accords and Tony Stark, like, are we going to see the Avengers Tower at some point? And even though I don't want it to stray too far away from being a Spider-Man show, because that's what it is at its core, I do not mind all this stuff being included and introduced. Because there's no reason that, like, okay, let's say you see Tony Stark, Iron Man next season, and he has a scene at the Avengers Tower. That doesn't mean that Spider-Man can't be there and can't be involved. Maybe alongside Daredevil. Like, I'm starting to wonder what's, yeah, off the table for this show. Because I never expected to see Doctor Strange and Venom in this. And I knew Daredevil was in there because I got spoiled on the, somebody clipped the fight scene for Twitter, and they were like criticizing it. I thought it was really good. So who haven't we had show up yet that could be? I mean, granted, the end of the season sets up so much stuff. Got Spider-Gwen coming in. You could have Eddie Brock at one point. We haven't had like an MJ or Mary Jane character. Does Nico know any of the other Runaways characters? Because there was the other ones as well. Maybe some of those could show up. And by show up, I do mean, excuse me, in the way that Daredevil does in this. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's on and off the table for this show? Because again, if you don't have the block here of, oh, we can't use, like, you know, Kraven, Morbius, Venom, Carnage, and all those sorts of ones. So I'm assuming any of those could kind of show up at one point. Granted, we've got the Doc Ock stuff to go through. We're seemingly got Venom to go through next season. You got Nico, the Runaways character, for next season. You've got what else was set up as well? Ben is back. You still got Aunt May there. What else was there? Oh yeah, Daredevil kind of like clearly still going to be involved, which is cool. So awesome, just really, really awesome. Anyway, I think I covered. I don't feel like I have because I haven't been talking as long as what I thought I was actually going to. Because I was watching this finale unfold and I was like, I'm going to be here for 2.5 hours or something. Yeah. So there we go. Just shows, even sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, if you see a bad trailer for something, but for something that you care about, so for example, like, you have Minecraft, right? I don't care at all about Minecraft. I'll probably never play it, never care about it, whatever. Trailer for that looks like rubbish, right? And don't any of you write in and give me, oh, it's fun for kids. Kids deserve better stuff than whatever that monstrosity looks like, right? And I get the whole like, hey, kids can switch their brains off and enjoy stuff. Kids just deserve better than whatever the hell that thing is. And no, I'm not going to be checking out the Minecraft thing, because, and again, it's not the same situation of like, oh, this is something I care about. I just don't care about the Minecraft thing at all. What I'm saying is, when you see bad trailers for stuff, I guess don't always write it off, because I almost just didn't watch this show, and I'm really, really, really glad that I did, because I'm just stunned at what this show was able to achieve. But different with Minecraft, because I don't care about Minecraft in the way I care about Spider-Man, and I probably never will. But yeah, so it's a bit, mine reminds me of like when, slightly different example, I suppose, when Forspoken was coming out. Granted, I liked it from the trailers and the gameplay ideas. Demo came out. That demo was not good. That demo is not a good representation of what that game is. And then I played the game and absolutely loved it. These things can happen sometimes. So there we go. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. If I did miss anything, because there was so much stuff that happened in this show, yeah, write in and let me know and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. And damn. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.